Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report, a special daily editorial on New Year's Eve. We are chatting with Robert Sinn, also known as Goldfinger, over at CEO.ca. And Robert, we're following up on an article that you came out with just this morning. It's your year-end post, and it really just encompasses the lessons that you learned from 2021 and also some other well-known investors in the resource space. They sent you their answers, and you summarize what a lot of these people had to say regarding, well, what they learned in 2021 and also some of their more distinctive memories from that year, which does tend to be a bit more on the positive side. We hear Great Bear mentioned a lot. We hear uranium stocks mentioned a lot. Overall, the responses were relatively positive, I would say, even though the broad sector did fade throughout the year pretty consistently. Robert, what was your main takeaway from, first of all, your lessons, but then also some of the feedback that you got from other well-known investors in the space?
Hey, Corey, it's great to talk to, you know, you and Shad again. Happy New Year. The year-end post that I published this morning was really interesting for me to read, you know, the responses I got. One of the big takeaways is the Great Bear story. And, you know, we've been focused on the sector very intently for years, obviously, and we followed the Great Bear story as it evolved over the last few years. You know, I recall it really started to get some attention in August 2018. And back then it was about 50 cents a share. And obviously this morning it's trading at almost $29 a share. So we're talking about a 60x gain in Great Bear. And a lot of the respondents had something to say about that. Obviously for some, it was their biggest win ever in their life in the junior mining sector. And then a couple of respondents also mentioned that, yeah, I made money on Great Bear, but damn, I sold it. I sold it to take profits and put that money into another junior, you know, and sort of like, why did I sell when I was clearly very bullish on Great Bear and I figured it would get taken out eventually, and sort of a bit of, you know, regret there. And I think there's a lesson, you know, to be had with Great Bear. And I'll just be honest. And yeah, I've made money on Great Bear with multiple trades. But I also was not long on the morning that they got the offer from Kinross. And so, you know, the question is, why sell a winner? And I think there's a lesson, you know, to be had there in keeping a core holding in companies that are doing well and checking all the boxes, and where you don't see any reason to sell aside from, I've got a big profit. Sometimes that big profit can turn into an enormous profit. And obviously in the case of Great Bear, for some people, they have a 50X, a 60X, maybe even for the earliest investors, even a 100X. And so those are life-changing gains. And the only way we can achieve those kinds of gains is by holding long-term.
Well, Robert, just in reading over the article, there was a lot of great responses, honestly. And some of the lessons that people had or their takeaways from the market were some things that make sense to all investors, you know, be diversified, have a good cash position, use stop losses, things like that, that are just common sense. But were there any other responses that you got that you thought were unique or interesting takeaways, other insights from other investors?
Yeah, I think a couple, Stan. I mean, Tommy's, you know, response is really good. And I like the response by, you know, Brandon, where he says that he thinks that there's going to be a lot of M&A coming in the mining sector. So not just in the gold sector, but in base metals too. And some CEOs might jump at the first offer, you know, they get a buyout offer. But with Brandon, he thinks that there could be a huge amount of upside. And so taking the first offer might actually turn out to be a bad move. And he mentions a couple of examples of that, including Great Bear. So I think that was, you know, a refreshing take from a junior mining CEO. Another one was Trevor Hall, stop loss everything. Yeah, I think in 2021, we have more than enough examples of junior mining stocks that dropped 70 or 80% throughout the year. And so if we just hold, we end up with a bigger loss, a very big loss. So having a stop loss and is important, especially in this sector where volatility is the norm.
So just one clarification quickly. Brandon is management over at Fireweed Zinc. One thing that you mentioned too, Robert, is use more technical analysis. How is that going to play more into your strategy? Why do you think that's important? Because the argument sometimes being, if you go into these smaller stocks, technical analysis doesn't always work because of some of the news and other factors that can really move these stocks in a very volatile way, as you just mentioned.
I think technical analysis gives two main advantages, Corey. The first one is technical analysis can help us with timing of our buying. And so either timing in terms of, okay, it's breaking out now, you know, a stock that has been going sideways for a long time. Oh, you know, there's the volume. It's coming in finally. Price is making a higher high. Okay, so that can give us a signal that it is time to get in. Just as technical analysis can also help us manage risk that, you know, when a stock is breaking down through a key support level, unless we want to argue with the market, unless our strategy is clearly something else fundamental, and we're willing to allow the loss to get bigger, then once it's breaking that key support level, that should be our signal to get out. So being clear on your strategy, and if technical analysis is part of your strategy, then it can really help us timing when to get in, and it can also give us a clear red light warning signal that, it's time to get out. So yeah, if technical analysis is part of your strategy, then we need to, you know, utilize it in those ways where it can really be helpful. And there's many examples in the last year in the junior mining sector of stocks that broke out, like Great Bear. You know, if you look at the Great Bear chart, it gave multiple buy signals in the last several months. And then on the flip side of that, there's more than enough examples of stocks that were just breaking support and making lower lows on a regular basis. And so unless we want to fight the trend, then, you know, the technicals, you know, the chart can give us plenty of warning signs to avoid those big pitfalls.
Well, Robert, just one more, just along that same line of thinking, which is kind of around the idea of managing risk and managing pitfalls, but also time horizons. I thought Dave Lotan, the chairman of Orion Resources, had a really great point in his about, you know, one of the biggest advantages resource investors have is that unlike a fund or somebody that's maybe dictated quarter by quarter, we can look at different time horizons and ride out the resource cycle based on which commodity's doing well or which company's doing well. So he talks a lot about managing risk, and Dave is a great prolific resource investor. For you, you know, you're a prolific trader as well, Robert. So what other areas do you use to manage risk or to look at multiple time horizons when you're getting into an investment and getting out of an investment?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to mention the companies in this conversation, but there's definitely a couple of examples in my own portfolio where I have continued to accumulate a stock because my time horizon is more than 12 months, and I'm willing to, you know, withstand that volatility, that, you know, that variance in share price, the roller coaster ride up to, let's say, I'm just going to throw out a share price number, a dollar, and maybe back down to 50 cents. And I'm willing to accumulate on that, you know, weakness and get in at what I believe to be attractive share prices because I'm willing to hold it longer term to see that upside hopefully, you know, eventually come about when a, you know, new discovery is made or, you know, the company's able to expand the size of the, you know, resource with more drilling. And then also, obviously, when sector tailwinds kick in, finally, we've had a lot of headwinds in 2021. But, you know, just look back to June of 2020 or look back to some other periods where the sector really caught favor in the last decade. And you can see what kinds of upside is possible in the sector, you know, 3, 4, 5x in a very short period of time. In the best examples, like a great bear, obviously, it can be 50x. So yeah, time frame is really important. If you're not willing to endure the volatility of the sector in the short term, then you probably shouldn't be in the sector.
Very good point, because boy, oh boy, we know that it's volatile, and sometimes what seems like the easiest bet too can turn out to maybe not go in that straight line higher that everyone would like. Robert, since we've all learned a little bit from this last year, what are some of the key themes that you're looking at into next year, 2022?
Well, yeah, I think that's a great question, Corey. I have a few themes that, you know, because you read my morning emails, you probably heard me talk about in the last month. But the first one is, I think that base metals have had a bit of a digestion period, especially in the second half of 2021. Obviously, copper had a fantastic first half of the year, rising from, you know, $3 a pound to almost $5 at the peak back in May. And it's had a bit of a sideways period for the last several months. And I think that copper, as the main base metal, is the one that most people think of, is going to have a great year, you know, ahead. And I think it will move above $5 a pound here. And when that happens, when copper breaks out and makes that new high and that $5, number, I think it's that we're going to see the stocks in the sector, from the Freeports of the world all the way down to the juniors, the 20 million market cap companies that are still exploring, I think we're going to see the sector really light up and some really big gains in the base metal space. So that would be number one. Number two, I think the gold sector is going to continue to see more mergers and acquisitions. The seniors have already started that off. We obviously have seen the, Kirkland Lake and, Agnico deal take place. I think we'll see more mergers among the seniors, but probably much more among the mid-tiers. The mid-tiers in particular need to, replace their ounces. So we will continue to see the sector get gobbled up. So that would be, number two. And I think that's going to be a really big theme in the gold sector. So the juniors are going to, the top tier juniors are going to be acquired in 2022. And we've already started to see that, with Great Bear, obviously. And there's some more examples. So we're going to see a lot more, I think, in the next year. And then I think gold's going to surprise some people. A lot of people are worried about, the Fed's going to, hike rates in 2022. So that's bearish for gold. But actually, if you know your history, which I think both of you do, gold has a very strong tendency to actually rise following the first rate hike of a new cycle by the Fed. And actually, rising bond yields do not have to be bearish, for gold. In fact, quite the opposite. So I think that we will see gold surprise people to the upside in 2022, especially those portfolio managers, those macro portfolio managers that manage billions of dollars and have zero exposure to gold. I think that we're going to see them have to start to raise that exposure and maybe even raise their exposure to the gold mining sector.
Yeah, Robert, it's definitely all eyes on that rate hiking cycle, which everybody keeps moving forward. And now people believe there could be 3 hikes next year. And as you point out, historically, about the last 4 to 6 times we've seen rate hiking cycles, it's actually been a tailwind for the precious metals, which sometimes seems counterintuitive, but it's especially when it's in a negative real rate environment and with inflation numbers as high as they are, even if they fall back some, still should be an interesting year mid-year. But just on a more short-term basis, I wanted to ask you about another article you wrote, Robert, and that's, after a dreadful year, it's time for a Santa rally in the gold miners. And we see that seasonality factor where coming out of tax loss selling, there's often a little bump up in January and February. Are you expecting to see something like that this year, and any other takeaways from that article you wrote?
Yeah, Chad. Yeah, I think that's a great point. In that blog post I wrote a couple of weeks ago, there's a seasonality chart front and center at the top of the post, and it's showing you the seasonal tendency of gold in the last 15 years. Now, in the last 15 years, gold has been through every cycle imaginable. We've had some tremendous bull market years, and we've had some terrible bear market years like 2013. So, you know, that's a pretty good sample size. And during the last 15 years, gold has a very strong tendency to rise in January through mid-February. So we have another, you know, 6 weeks of strong, you know, tailwinds, I think, for the gold price. And that doesn't mean gold's going to just soar above $2,000 in a straight line, but I think that we could see the 1900 level again in the next, you know, few months. And, you know, with that being said, for the gold mining sector, and in particular the junior gold sector, even if gold just stays flat around 1820 to 1830, the stock should, you know, should do very well in the first quarter of the new year, just because they've been so beaten down, they're out of favor, and the new year tends to turn a new leaf in terms of sentiment. So I expect that some money will flow into the gold mining sector and the juniors early in 2022. And then if we do have the good fortune of a rising gold price environment, then there's going to be a lot more upside possible, you know, in the new year.
So, Robert, to get some of that rotation of money into the gold stocks, what do you think it's going to take? Is it a pullback in the U.S. equity markets? Is it something else in another market? Because in all fairness, look, we had a fairly stable gold price throughout 2021 and the stocks continued to drift. So what's it going to take to rotate that money back into the sector?
Well, it could take quite a few things. It doesn't have to be one catalyst. But if you, you know, if you put me on the spot and I have to name one or two catalysts that's going to really help the gold sector, I would say a rollover in the U.S. dollar would have to be probably at the top of the list. The dollar has had actually a good year in 2021, and the dollar index has been in a consolidation for, let's say, the last month or so. So if we actually see the dollar index roll over a bit and drop under the 50-day moving average, I think that would be a very positive tailwind for gold and for the gold mining sector. There's also a strong tendency for the euro-dollar cross, the largest, you know, pair in the world, to make a major high or low in January of each new year. So that's something that we want to watch closely in January, is the, you know, euro dollar, which is trading about 113 or 113 and change right now. So if that starts to go up, that will be very positive for gold and the gold mining sector, in my opinion. When the, you know, euro dollar goes up, that means the dollar is going down.
Okay. Robert, it's been a pleasure chatting with you this year. I really appreciate all the time you've taken with us, sharing your opinions on our show. And as I've said throughout this year, I really appreciate your daily emails to your subscribers, because they really do provide a nice summary in a broad sense too. It's not just precious metals focused, for everyone to consider in terms of market moves and even some of the data that comes out. Robert, again, it's been great having you on the show. I look forward to chatting with you throughout 2022. Thank you for taking time on this New Year's Eve. I hope you have a very happy New Year.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.